This is the Red Beard Podcast.
Hold on to your butt.
Do we really suck? Or is this guy really that good?
I have one speed, I have one gear. Go!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Tony from the Red Beard Podcast, and you're listening to the Wednesday Red Beard Podcast. I'm here, as always, with my buddy...
Cooley! Yeah, boy!
Dude... We have a lot of cool stuff to talk about this week. I know that last week we kind of took a break because we did a little bit of that Halloween special. So we talked about a lot of Halloween stuff.
A little bit?
Yeah, we talked a lot about
that
Halloween
was a,
stuff.
Oh my God, that shit was long, son.
Yeah, but dude, we had two guests who all had a lot of stuff to say. So why would we cut that stuff out?
It's true.
Yeah, we did cut some stuff out, but for the most part, we left in a lot of the good stuff.
Oh, dude, I cut out like maybe 3 minutes of content, to be honest with you.
Did you really?
Yeah.
3 minutes, because all of it was really good. So Ryan McCarthy and Jim Rock, shout out to you guys because great podcast. Love having you on the show. But as far as this week, man, I really want to just jump into it right away. We're going to talk about this pretty much every week because, hey, The Walking Dead is big right now. It's huge. A lot of stuff that we did not talk about last week and this past weekend, some cool stuff as well. So you and I have been talking about this for a while, and I really want to jump into it because we have very different views on what happened with Glenn.
Right.
You read the graphic novels. I don't. Mm-hmm. I know in the graphic novels you told me about the way that he dies, which is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
That would be cool if that happened in the show, if they do that. But my problem is this. The guy says thank you, blows his head off, Nicholas, right? Drags Glenn down.
Right.
And they are standing on top of a dumpster which has zombies all around them. There's obviously no way out because that's why that guy had a freak out moment and killed himself.
Right.
But when he falls to the ground, even if Nicholas is on top of him and he gets under a dumpster, I feel like how long is he actually going to stay there, right? And walkers don't necessarily go away because they don't care. You know what I mean? You had some views on this which I thought were interesting, which I want you to kind of go into. So go ahead, man.
So walkers don't necessarily, they don't necessarily go away. No. Not without any kind of prompting. Right. But they are some of the most easily distracted creatures that I've ever seen. So, I mean, dogs, right? Not as easily distracted as walkers.
Right.
Right. So just think about that for a minute. There's this huge, like, joke about, you know, dog sees a squirrel, screws and takes off after the squirrel, right? No matter what he's doing. Walkers, I mean, bright light, sound, smell, anything. Oh, what's that? Oh, I'm hungry. I'm going to go see if that's food. Right? So anything can draw them away. Mm-hmm. My point last when we talked about this was that he gets under the dumpster, right?
We didn't see that happen, but...
Okay. Let's just say for the sake of my argument, right? Yep. He gets under the dumpster. Couple of zombies come in after him, right? Mm-hmm. He jacks him in the head with his knife, right? Jack, 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 right? Walls himself in with walkers, right? So there are walkers like kind of barricading those openings underneath that dumpster. So the other walkers can't get in. Those walkers aren't going to eat through the other walkers to get to him. They can't. Mm-hmm. Well, they can, but they're not going to. Right. So my point is now you have all these walkers around this thing that they can't get to. The minute something happens that, you know, they can get to, they're going to go after that. And that's going to open up some space for him. Now, I don't think this is going to happen in the course of 10 minutes or 15 minutes. This is going to be some 127 hours type shit.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to be under there and he's going to be like damn near ready to just fucking call it quits before something happens and he starts seeing some daylight.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then he can get out and finally get home. But then when he finally does, I believe that he's going to get bashed in the head with a fucking bat.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Probably immediately after, you know, because it's going to be.
Everybody's like psyched that he's back. And
you're going to have that sigh of relief and it's just going to be like, bam.
And then he's going to get leveled.
Drop. Yeah. Curtain drop. Boom.
Yeah. Curtain drop.
Fade to black. And then like an episode later, then we get the whole moratorium. You know what I mean? Like the whole after party, you know,
yeah.
Everybody like, oh, poor Glenn, yeah. You know, so. Well, that's my take on it, and I feel like it's going to be like that because this is not how Glenn goes out.
Well, right. I mean, I think that it would be kind of shitty if he did go out that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been saying the entire time that Nicholas was going to be his downfall, and I think in a sense, if he does go through some 127 hour shit, I mean that is part of his downfall. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you know what really sucked too is, and I'm going to call him out, but Ryan McCarthy, like when we were doing that Halloween podcast,
right?
Like he kind of mentioned that Glenn had died before we had even seen the episode. So that kind of sucks because the whole episode, I was out of the room for a second, and
right.
You and Jim found out it was Glenn. I knew someone died. I didn't know who. So it was kind of one of those things where the whole episode, I'm just waiting for someone to die. And there was a second where I thought it was going to be Michonne.
Right.
She's on that fence. And she was being like, I'm like, this whole thing's going to topple over and she's gonna eat it. You know,
every episode's like that though, right? Like you're always waiting for somebody to die. Who's going to bite it in this episode?
But
you know?
I knew that someone died.
Right.
So I was like, fuck, you know, like the whole time, it's kind of like every episode you're like, oh, somebody might die, but I knew definitely somebody went down.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of one of those things where I.
Like he literally.
Was waiting. Yeah. He
literally was like, oh, holy shit, Glenn dies. And like, I'm like, really? Do you even know who Glenn is? Like, did you watch the... Yeah, he's like, I don't even watch The Walking Dead, so I didn't know. I'm
Why
sorry,
would you
guys.
Say
I'm
that?
Like,
just
oh,
keep your mouth
God.
Shut. I find that I'll always...
I love him, though. I love you, though, McCarthy. Chill. Relax.
Yeah, relax. Yeah. We love you, man, but seriously, I was kind of surprised that you did that. But anyway... let's just jump into that for a second. I want to give him props on his Luke Skywalker costume.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was awesome. Another thing as far as The Walking Dead, obviously this past weekend, I was really pleased with the episode.
I love this episode.
Even though it had nothing to do with Glenn,
glad
I thought
it
was brilliant. A nice 90-minute episode.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad they've done that twice.
Yep.
Starting off the season and this way. There was just so much that they had to cover.
Right.
I really liked finding out Morgan's backstory because before that, I started to kind of lose respect for him in the episodes.
Right.
Like, why isn't he fighting? Maybe that's kind of like just some. I knew it had something to do with what he had gone through.
As to
why he wasn't killing people, but I didn't know why.
And it makes sense now.
Now it does.
But that, he did say that he learned how to use the bow staff from a cheesemaker, not a candle maker.
Okay, that's what it was then.
Right.
All
right,
my bad. All right,
and that's what he was making. That yogurt like stuff was cheese.
Okay,
supposed
all right.
to be cheese. Yeah.
Yeah, but I like how we called him a cheesemaker when he was a psychologist.
Yes.
Well, you feel like cheese making would be a hobby, not like a full time job.
Was he a psychologist in this context?
In this setting that he
right.
Okay.
Currently, he was a cheesemaker.
Dude, I don't know, man. He used some psychology on Morgan.
He
like,
did.
In that, like, that cell wasn't even locked. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was, he was messing with his head to bring him out of that darkness.
Right.
So I definitely.
Bro, that was a killer episode, man. The acting was ridiculous.
Acting was awesome.
Yeah.
Acting was on par, dude. I really like that actor. I don't know what his name is. What is his name? The guy who played...
The cheesemaker. Yeah, I don't know.
He's been in a ton of stuff. I mentioned this on the solo show. He was the clown in American Horror Story.
Yeah.
He's been
Twisty.
Doing a lot of stuff. I actually got the chance to meet him briefly. When Body of Proof was actually filming in Rhode Island, me mm-hmm. and my buddy did this scene out in... I think it was PC or one of these colleges. We were supposed to be like playing football in the background.
Right.
And he happened to be walking by, like getting ready for something. And he walked right past me. And I was like, how's it going? He's like, hi, how are you? And it's kind of like, didn't know he was going to be a crazy fucking clown.
Yeah.
Not to mention like a badass character in The Walking Dead. So it's kind of cool that I actually like said something to him, but whatever. Man, I want to look up his name so I can give him props, but...
But that scene right at the end, though.
Yes. That gave me goosebumps, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy, I think, also props to that acting, because he was freaking me out, dude.
Right.
You had something to say about where he was being kept.
Yeah, no, it's awful. Like, I mean, like, that was this seems like such a boneheaded decision. So he's not tied to anything. He's just got his hands tied, right? It looked like.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's got his hands tied. He's sitting there against a wall, but like it's a house that's full of windows.
Right.
And there's a cage on the door, but there's no bars on the windows. It's not like he's in like Compton. You know what I mean? it's a straight up house with windows. Like, why isn't anybody thinking he can possibly just like break out?
But I think the windows were the kind of windows that you have in a basement where it allows like light in, but not enough room to actually fit through them.
Oh no, I saw some full like windows.
There weren't any bars in front of them.
No. No, go back and watch the scene. I'm sure it's on YouTube or something. Just take a couple of minutes and watch it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's just you got these windows, and you can see the light coming in through the windows. It's like the windows are fucking dead open, pretty mm-hmm. much. All he has to do is just throw a brick through it or put his foot through one.
All right,
he's already dying from an infection. I mean, what's the difference?
Well, see, but that's the thing. I don't think that guy thinks that he's going to get out. Like, he's like, I'm going to kill you and whatever else. He's like, just like what happened to your friend Eastman.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're admitting that you're bit. What's the
shelf? Oh, he's not bit. Like? That wasn't a bite. That was a cut.
I thought he got hit by a walker or something.
No, that was a cut.
It was just a cut?
It was a big gash in his side. Like, he was looking for antibiotics. That's why he went back and he was, like, rummaging through the houses instead of attacking people.
Yeah, you're right. It was a cut.
Yeah,
right,
so he was looking for something that he could, you know, fix that with or like, you know, cure himself with or, like, keep himself from getting infected.
You think Morgan's going to go down from him? Like, not expect it?
No, I think Morgan locked him in there to just let him rot.
Yeah, but you're also saying that he looks like he can get out.
Oh, he can get out, but I don't think he's going to because I think that's an oversight on the showrunner. I think the showrunner was just like, oh, we're gonna lock him in this house and he's gonna die. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because like it was just like because they didn't have a prison.
True. Yeah.
You know, so that's just my 2 cents, but I think it was just an oversight. I think he is gonna die in there, and that's Morgan's. You know, that's Morgan's one
mm-hmm.
that he's going to let die because it's the one guy that that Morgan met that's truly evil.
Evil. Yeah. Right. The persona. Yeah. I mean, I really, the other thing I liked about this too was I was always wondering how Morgan actually figured out like how he just learned to be like a G with a bow staff.
Right.
And they literally showed his training.
Mm-hmm.
My only gripe with that is, you saw him doing like the same moves.
Yeah.
It's like half the shit that he does are not those moves.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that's me because I was really paying attention to it. Like, I love how you get ready for a heist, like in movies, and then see the plan go through, how somebody goes through training. So
right.
I thought that was cool. Good episode. I really loved it.
You know what I really liked too was the dude that taught him when they found zombies and they were burying them, they took the wallet out.
Yeah,
and found out their names and actually gave them a proper burial with their name on the marker,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty cool.
Yeah,
like I mean, that was pretty. It was like respectful of the dead, and it just kind of followed with the Zen persona of that guy,
yeah.
the cheesemaker, Eastman.
And he's also got a box of like all the licenses he was like putting in. I thought that was kind of cryptic, but anyway.
At first, I thought he was going for the cash, but then I was like, that makes no sense.
No, yeah. Yeah, seriously.
I wonder how much he's got.
I need to buy some Gatorade. John Carroll Lynch is the guy's name.
Nice.
And
he did a great job.
And his birthday was August 1st, 1963. Mine's August 1st also.
1963?
Yes. No.
So it's like, you're older than me by 10 years.
No. So, yeah, props to those guys. Great job. Great episode.
I mean, rolling into Halloween?
Yeah, let's talk about that's actually what I was going into next. So
nice.
Halloween kicked ass this year. I kind of talked about it in my solo show, did the shower from the Karate Kid, and
that was awesome, man.
I got a lot of comments on that, like compliments on that costume. So
it was great because I mean it was unexpected. First of all, nobody expected anybody to go as a Halloween costume that a character in a movie wore for Halloween. You know what I mean? Like you, people would usually go as the character.
Yeah.
Like. Wear like a karate gi, like uniform. with a black belt, maybe the red bandana or the white bandana with the red thing in the middle. Mr. Miyagi or something, like a character, but you went as a costume that the character wore in the movie, so it was super meta.
I was, I was playing Daniel LaRusso as the costume.
Yeah.
As the shower.
Right.
So, and it's funny too, because like I actually had, you guys can't really see it in the picture, but I made like the headband with the same symbol on it that he wears when he like is in his karate gi. And then I had this t-shirt that I bought years ago that said Cobra Kai on it, but I was like, he's not supporting Cobra Kai. So I took duct tape and put like an X over Cobra Kai, but I was able to wear gray sweatpants and like black shoes with like the white Nike symbol on it. So I had part of the costume. I might actually just do the same thing for Comic-Con. I just don't know how I feel about the duct tape with the Cobra Kai. Like, that's kind of cheesy, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll order like a Miyagi-Do karate t-shirt or something. But I need to give you props for your costume as Tyrese.
Oh, thanks, man.
Because it kicked ass. And I think just
all it was, I just put a, you know, I literally just brought a dirty shirt with me and I threw that on to go to the, and it was just like, oh, it's Tyrese.
Yeah, but you had like the backpack. So and
I did. Yeah,
like,
no, I threw a backpack on too. Yeah.
Yeah, that was legit. And I think because not everybody listens to our solo shows, I think you need to just tell your story once about the Tyrese experience that you had. Because there are people that only listen to this show and it's just worth telling.
I mean, so a lot of stuff happened that night, man. And so I'm talking to these people and this girl comes up to me and she says, so what are you dressed up as? What are you supposed to be? Right. Cause like she had no idea.
Right.
So I was like, Tyrese from The Walking Dead. And I'm like, you know, like you get it. And she's just like, I don't watch that show. So I was like, great. So she says, my friend watches the show. Hold on. She grabs her friend and her friend comes over and she goes, this is Tyrese from The Walking Dead. And her friend's like, get out of here. Right. And I'm like, no, really, yeah, Tyrese from The Walking Dead. She's like, holy shit. And she starts talking to me. And she's just like, you know, she's like, oh, this, you know, it looks great. And like, you know, she's like, you know, I forget exactly what she said, but she said something and wanted to know like what it was like, you know, working on The Walking Dead and having to deal with, you know, the baby, Judith.
Yeah.
And I stopped for a minute because, you know, I was trying to figure out how to, I was trying to figure out how I fucked up what I heard because I didn't, I was just like, I must have heard that wrong. Is she asking me why I don't have the fake baby or?
Yeah.
But then I realized that she was literally asking me questions that somebody would ask the actual
actor
that played Tyrese. And I'm just like, so do you think I'm actually Tyrese from The Walking Dead? And she was just like, yeah. Yeah, no? And I was like, it's Halloween. And she looks at me and I'm like, no, seriously, it's Halloween. I'm like, I'm dressed up as Tyrese from The Walking Dead. I'm not Tyrese from The Walking Dead.
In real life.
In real life, right. But, it was just like the funniest thing. It's like
what did after she say after that, though?
No, she was just like, she just covered her mouth and she had the most embarrassed look on her face because she realized that in her heart of hearts, she truly believes that all black people look alike.
So here's my question though, and I said this before ever since you told me that story, I'm like, if there is one day we're out of the year where you think that somebody may not be somebody that they resemble, it's probably Halloween is the one day where it's probably not that person.
But then you also have to think about this. I'm Tyrese from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Right. Why the hell am I going to dress up as my
character? Yeah, that's the one thing. Why would I do that? Too. Yeah.
Like, even if it was not Halloween, like, let's say it was like February 3rd, right? Why would I be walking around the streets as Tyrese, right? Like, hey, I'm Tyrese from The Walking Dead. Look at me in my dirty shirt. Like, why would I do that? Like,
you know, the guy we were just talking about, Lynch, walking around as the clown.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, this is how I look in real life.
This is it. Everything else is makeup.
Yeah, like when I look like a normal human, that's just CGI. So, but I thought that was great, man. And everybody had great costumes. I thought that Paul and his brother killed it, man.
Oh, like, man, that was the best, especially when they switched.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
that was awesome.
Yeah. Marty McFly and like Back to the Future 2 Marty McFly, like with the jacket that dries itself.
Yeah. And then like all the little props that they had and shit.
Well, he
like,
had the hoverboard and that, which was great. That's a limited edition, like Mattel thing that they made. So I think that's really cool that he had that.
But then, like the flyer that he had for the for the dance, and then
the hologram picture that like made the family was disappearing. That was classic. When he took that out, I died.
Yeah, like, he was like, "Look, I'm fading away." I'm like, "Oh shit, that's so great."
Cool. That was great. I thought
I thought Stockner was awesome.
I was just gonna say that.
His, oh my god,
like, walking in on stilts. Like,
yeah. Jesus. So there's this guy that comes in. Like, he looks like. I'm just explaining this, giving everybody a visual. Yeah. He comes in, it's like he's like got to be 7 or 8 feet tall,
yeah,
right? And he's got like this, he looks like the Swamp Thing almost. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like a cross between that dance crew, the Jabberwockies, mm-hmm. and the Swamp Thing.
Okay, yeah.
Like, because he had that white mask that the Jabberwockies wear, and like he was, but he was all like, you know, like just all covered in, you know, green swamp shit.
You know what's weird? When he walked in, I thought of witches.
Oh, there's the...
Like,
yeah,
just because I had just, like, thought about that, I was like, that's probably the shit I would end up seeing in the fucking forest.
I'm telling you, right? Like, like witches had that creep effect, man. I don't care if... It wasn't scary, but it was creepy as fuck, that the book, especially after reading where it came from in that guy's head.
It was actually, like, when he drew the sketches of what he saw, that's mm-hmm. what Stockner reminded me of.
Yeah.
Just because he was long and lanky, you know, and had that weird fucking face. I don't know, dude.
But he was awesome, man, because, like, he came in. I had no idea it was him until, like, he took the mask off.
Oh, I knew as soon as he walked in, because I heard he was coming in. I've seen a picture of him that he showed me in that costume. It was awesome. Oh,
yeah, I had never seen that, so I was like, who the fuck is this? This is great. It looked like, I swear to God, I thought I was on a Broadway production. It was like, it was fantastic.
He's legit.
He killed it. If it was a character or something that I had seen before, like, and he was just coming in as that, and I saw that, and I would think he fucking knocked out the park. But the fact that it wasn't something I recognized is the only reason why I wouldn't say best costume there, because that I think goes to either yourself or Paul and his brother.
Yeah,
but I almost have to give it to Paul and his brother, just because there were two of them and they flipped it on
and
me.
And they flipped it. Yeah.
That it was like, it was brilliant. Like, the way that they did that, it was like, it was awesome.
It was great. Everybody was on par.
I got a lot of, so I'm just going to talk about this, cause it souped me up and made my head big. A lot of people like not believing that I was 42.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt really good. Some people had to check my license like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
One was like, dude, my mother was born in 73. And I was like, I'm old enough to be your mother.
Say hi to mother for me.
Yeah. You know, I was like, yeah, dude, like I saw Star Wars in the theaters, you know, when it came out, you know, when I was young, when I was a kid, skateboarding was like a new thing.
It was a new thing.
Skateboarding, like, people hadn't figured out tricks, right? People were just lucky to get on that shit and kick and ride.
Video games were like, what are these?
Seriously? No, it's dead up. Like, Atari 2600 had just come out. Mm-hmm. Badass graphics were like 3 blocks on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legit. 3 squares. Oh my God, squares? That's amazing. Look at how he makes that little stick move up and down. Like, it's like, yeah, that was awesome. Like that. So like nowadays when people say, how come you don't like Call of Duty? Because I can't fucking play that shit.
Yeah, Call of Duty's tough, but there was a point in my life where I actually was pretty good at it. But it took a lot of me getting very angry and being like, there's no way that guy could have shot me.
Yeah, I'm awful, man. It's like you get the game, you buy the game, you put it in your system, you start to play it. Mm-hmm. You get sniped by some fucking 13-year-old that has nothing better to do than play the game for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, every time you start a match, like, as soon as you walk out into the battlefield, snipe.
I just sniped him. Here's my Doritos.
Yeah, and then they call it, then they drop N-bombs.
Yeah. Oh, so like, yeah. Everybody being racist on Call of Duty. Yeah.
So I'm done. I'm done with the first-person shooters, man. Except for Destiny. Destiny's the only one that I like, because, like, I can play a one-player game and get out. People are moving away from one-player games, man.
Well, as far as people like talking shit in video games, when Mortal Kombat X came out, I downloaded Mortal Kombat. I had like the, fuck, dude, I can't even think right now. I had the Xbox Live Gold membership, so I was able to go online and face off with other people. And when the game first came out, like, obviously there are moves that you've been using with Scorpion and Sub-Zero for years,
right?
So it's like riding a bike, right? So I go into like King of the Hill match, and I'm playing as Scorpion. This one guy is just like killing everybody, and I'm like, I'm gonna get my ass like raped on this match. And I literally destroyed him, right? Right. But the whole time we're playing, he's just going, oh man, like, cool, you're just gonna do basic moves, not doing any combos. And I literally, like, I didn't have my headset in, so I just let him talk and talk.
Yeah.
And then finally I beat him, and it was like Villain Shadow, new king of the hill, and I went to the top, right? And all of a sudden, like, I was I played another three people, beat them, then he got back in line, came up again, and I started playing him again. So I plugged in my headset, like, yep, when he paired up with me again, because I know he's going to start talking shit.
Right.
So I just go, hey, man, I go, you're talking a lot of shit while we're playing. I go, but the point is you're losing. I was like, so I can do all these fancy combos if you want me to. I was like, but I'm taking you out with basic moves. I was like, he's like, yeah, man, you need to shut the fuck up. Like, he was getting wicked pissed. And I'm like, and you can hear everybody else in the background just laughing.
Yeah.
Because I was wicked calm, just destroying him.
Well, think about, you should also think about this, right? If I can beat you with a flip kick, why am I going to put the effort into making combos? You know what I mean?
That's the thing. It was like, if I could do these crazy things if I wanted to. Like, I knew how to do them.
Yeah.
But it was more fun doing easy moves and just wrecking him.
Yeah. Why even bother? Like, so in a real fight.
Yeah.
Am I going to fucking go crazy? Like, doing backflips and spin kicks and jumping up and down? Like, if all I have to do is just punch you in the face?
Yeah. Or take a rock and throw it at your head.
So, simplicity wins all the time.
Yeah.
Complexity just gets you fucked up. Look at Indiana Jones.
An example would be
the dude with the swords coming after him.
Oh, and he just shoots him.
Yeah. Pull out the gun, pop, dead.
Yeah, dead.
Right?
Awesome.
All that showmanship did nothing.
Exactly.
So you know what? Mortal Kombat, I'm gonna flip kick you and sweep you to death.
Or Batman, Tim Burton, the dude with the swords, and he just hits him in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. I dude. Anyway, that's my reference as far as the video games go, because I can't stand when people talk shit. I definitely want to get into this because we were talking about it before we started. Was Comic-Con. Alright, Comic-Con's going to be this Saturday. I already have people in mind that I want to meet. Ralph Macchio is one of them. He's kind of jumped to the top of the list. Now that I have the shower costume, I'm probably going to just wear that to Comic-Con. I can't see him not taking a picture with me if I'm wearing that. And two, I can't see him not giving me some kind of interview.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm wearing that, that's, I feel like he's got to, in his head's got to be like, all right, respect. Like, you know,
yeah.
If he doesn't, I'd be surprised. Like, there's part of me that thinks like he might not actually do it. And I will be surprised, but I also think it'd just be such a cool picture to have with him, you know?
No, he's got to hook you up, man. I would. I mean, like, it's like, like I said, I can't imagine that he's seen a bunch of people in that costume. I mean,
yeah,
most of the people that he's seen like cosplaying Karate Kid are actually dressed up as like
Karate Kid.
Yeah.
You know what's weird though is when I was thinking about building this costume, I went online and looked up, you know, like the actual costume, and people, like, there are Halloween company, like Halloween costume companies that sell it. But it's like $80 and it looks so flimsy as shit. So I went to the extent of building it from scratch and got like PVC pipe and put it together. So mine's like from scratch. I didn't just like pay $80 and have them send it to me. Like, I put the time in, spray painted it and all that shit. So I'm proud of that. I can't wait to wear that, because I think I'm going to get a lot of compliments on it. I'm excited. You know, I'm excited for him to see it, but this is the first Comic-Con that I've actually gone in costume. So I'm excited to see what other people's reactions are going to be. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's going to be pretty cool. I'm also excited to meet, God, who's the other guy I wanted to meet? Do you want to meet Ron Perlman? Because there's part of me that does.
I absolutely want to meet Ron Perlman. I think, out of all the people that are there,
yeah,
Ron Perlman is the one guy at Comic-Con right now that I think has the most well-rounded body of work that I personally am attached to, right?
Yeah.
He's been in Blade. He's been in Hellboy.
Yep.
Sons of Anarchy. And then I don't know how far back you go, but he was in a show called Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
With Sarah Connor. What's her name?
Sarah Connor, yeah. Linda Hamilton.
Linda Hamilton, right.
Yeah.
So, which was, you know, if you would try to watch that show today, it'd be fucking brutal to try and get through
horrible.
It. But back then,
it was awesome.
It was great. It was like I watched Knight Rider and Beauty and the Beast.
Actually always, whenever I watched that, because my mother actually really liked that show.
Yeah.
He always reminded me of Beastmaster.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like the makeup that he had. So, but I thought that, I thought it was a very interesting, didn't he like live in the sewer or something?
Yeah, he lived in the sewer. Well, because he couldn't live in like the actual world because people hated him.
That was
and
like
feared him.
That show, I used to watch it on TV with like my mom was watching it, but that was like kind of at the point where my brain was like starting to realize what was going on around me. Like that's how young I was. But I remember seeing like clips of that. I didn't even remember it was Ron Perlman until you just actually said that.
Yeah.
So that, but it was totally Ron Perlman.
Totally Ron Perlman. I mean, this is a guy, he's been around forever, and the fact that he's still involved in this stuff and still doing amazing work.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I gotta meet that guy, man.
I want to meet him. I think it'd be cool, and of course I'm gonna bring it up. But I thought he was pretty funny in Alien Resurrection. But anyway, that's another Alien movie reference.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence about Carrie Fisher. I want to meet her because obviously she's Princess Leia. But I heard she doesn't want to do any interviews. She's like, has all these stupid demands now, and she's being like batshit crazy like usual. So
that's why she doesn't want to do any interviews, though, because people are going to immediately talk to her about being batshit crazy. Like that's that. Honestly, I mean, I'm guilty. They would probably be the first thing I want to talk to her about. Be like, shit. So like, how did you get from being Princess Leia to being where you are now? Like, how did this happen? You know, what did you, did somebody like, I don't know, like, is it daddy issues? Is it, you know, like, what's the deal?
But that's the one thing I wouldn't ask her, because I feel like that's too personal and that's going to piss her off. Like,
right.
why would you bring up her personal life?
No. I'm not saying that I actually would cross that line, but in my head, that's what I want to ask her. Yeah. Everybody wants to know.
But at the same time, I mean, like, there's part of me that thinks if you go to Comic-Con, like, you should be prepared to do interviews and all that shit. Especially 2 months before Star Wars comes out.
So the
why would you go to a Comic-Con and not expect to, like, she doesn't even have a Peter Cullen like VIP package, and
no,
she should,
because she doesn't want one. And I mean, like, I gotta say, just from a perspective of a fan, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
but from the perspective of the actor and not that I actually have that perspective, but I can put those shoes on. I feel like some of them don't want that pressure, because there's you also have to figure that movie is not coming out until December.
Mm-hmm.
She is not. We can both agree that she's not altogether upstairs, right?
Right. So she doesn't want to say something that
she shouldn't say. I'm guessing that that's part of it. I don't think that's all of it, but
like,
I'm guessing part of it is
not to say anything.
Yeah, I can't
interviews.
Say anything. I'm under a non-disclosure agreement. Like, you're going to come up here, you're going to take a photo with me. Great, I'll sign your shit. You know, but beyond that, I really don't want to get involved, and I don't want to have to answer any questions. I don't want to have to be on guard. And I also don't think that just because somebody is in the public spotlight or somebody is a star doesn't mean that they should have to be prepared to do interviews and all that shit. I feel like that's something that we've taken for granted as people, just because the paparazzi is relentless.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these people have every right to not want to be interviewed. Like, I mean, it's just, and if you don't want to be interviewed, even if you're prepared to do it, but you don't want to do it, then it's going to be a shitty interview anyway.
Right, but I also think if you go to Comic-Con, you're going to have to expect people to want to ask you questions and talk to you. And
yeah,
I
for sure.
Like, for that, you should be open to.
I agree.
You know, and I just...
I agree with that. I agree that you should at least field the question of, will you do an interview or will you do X, Y, and Z? And just say yes or no.
Right.
And not get aggravated by it, right? And like not have this this shout out that you do before the show that says, I'm not going to do it, so don't ask. I don't want you to even ask me. That's kind of whack.
It makes sense if you don't want to do an interview, but I also feel like I heard she had other demands where she didn't want to be like looked at in a certain way or something that was just so ridiculous that I've heard. Like, I've heard stuff about Elton John. One of my friends worked in the Civic Center, and like when he walked through to the stage, anybody who was there had to face away and not look at him. It was like really stupid shit like that. Like mm-hmm. Kanye West wants like, you know, I saw on TV the other day, he wants like 33 grand worth of liquor in his room, like for any show he does. Like, yeah, cool, bro. You're really going to drink all that. But yeah. You know, it was just like, just to be a dick. She shouldn't have ridiculous demands. And like I said, I don't even know what the demands were. I can't remember, but they were just so ridiculous that it
the
made fact, me.
The idea of not getting, the idea of not being asked to do an interview, I don't think it's as ridiculous as not being looked at, number one, but even more so, I don't think it's as ridiculous as having $33,000 worth of liquor in your room just to do a show.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't compare those two things. I would say, you know, I and I'm only saying this because I went to one Comic-Con I went to. I think it was the first one I ever went to. Eric Larson, the artist and creator and writer of Savage Dragon, and a very popular Spider-Man artist prior to that, he was at the show, and, you know, everybody, he was one of the big stars of the show. Like, I mean, at that time when Image Comics launched and, you know, you had, you know, Youngblood, Wildcat, Spawn, Savage Dragon, all these like very mega popular comic books, like these guys were as close to rock stars as a comic book writer or artist will ever get, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like people, I mean, I'm pretty sure that chicks were taking off their panties and throwing them at these guys. But I mean, here's a guy that's, and I know I'm wrong about that, so, but anyway, these guys are walking around, you know, Comic-Con, and everybody's just trying to get their autograph and stuff like that, which is great, and that's fine. But then I went to Giordano's after that. It's a pizza place in Chicago. Fabulous pizza, by the way. Check it out if you're ever in that area. So I go there, and I'm sitting at a table with a couple of friends of mine that I went to the convention with, and we're eating, and there's Eric Larson like three tables over with his family, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Eric Larson. And my boys are like, oh shit, you're right, cool. And we're just like sitting there, and we sit there and we eat. We're very respectful of his downtime with his family. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're eating and, you know, we're just chilling, talking. I look up, and there's a fucking line next to the table that he's eating at with his family. And it's like, at some point, people need to turn that shit off.
Yeah.
And I get that. So you're in the convention, great. You're out of the convention, you know, off limits, like leave the guy alone. But I think over time, when you're somebody as iconic as Princess Leia, I think at a certain point, it's like you have to kind of draw a very firm line as to what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. And if every single person that comes up to you, you know, wants an autograph and then wants to talk your ear off for fucking 15 minutes, right, then the rest of that line is not going to get an autograph. Mm-hmm. So you have to be, some people you have to, like Stan Lee, another good story. I met him, shook his hand, you know, he talked to me for like 3 seconds, but what he said in 3 seconds was fucking a lifetime worth of shit. Like, it was like I walk by, I shake his hand, I'm like, man, you know, what you did for comic books was, you know, amazing. And, you know, it's, you're like a grandfather to me. You know what I mean? Like, this is, and he was just like, he just said, Excelsior, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, sweet. You know, like, that was like, that one thing was enough to me for me to move on and just say, I got my picture with Stan Lee and he said Excelsior to me. And, you know, a buddy of mine, Stan Lee signed his baby shower invite. You know what I mean? And that was it. And he walked on. So that was a moment that he has forever from Stan Lee. And if more and more people did that and like were accepting of the little tidbit of nostalgia that somebody can give you, right, that you can carry on for the rest of your life, then I think people would be more open to doing like extra stuff. But everybody's not like that.
Well, that actually happened with me with Alan Oppenheimer. He was like sitting at his booth and there was like no one there. And I was like, you got to be shitting me. And I went up and I was like, I got to talk to this guy like this. I can't believe there's no line here. And then I went up and I was like, honored to meet you. I was like, I watched Masters of the Universe. I was like every morning. And he did the Skeletor laugh, like,
right,
completely coughed me off guard. And I literally like, it was like a little kid. I laughed and he like started laughing. And I was like, I can't believe you just did that. I said, can I get a picture with you? You know, whatever. And he came around. He's like, oh, definitely. He comes around.
Yeah.
And me and my buddy, since there was no one at the table, just started talking to him. And you know, my buddy Don's like, used to watch Masters of the Universe all the time. You know, like, I hope, you know, that, you know, I like how you're still doing things, you know, stuff like that. And then all of a sudden he did Aquaman, like, right. It was like crazy.
Right.
You know, so like, I got to talk to Alan Oppenheimer and hear him do
Skeletor. Did he do Aquaman or Merman?
Sorry, Merman. Yeah, all right. I said Aquaman, Merman. But it was just, it was crazy. You know, it was crazy to actually have him do those voices for me. But it was maybe like 3 minutes and then that was it.
Right. But like the other part of that, though, is how much of the actual conversation do you remember? Like his words, right? Mm-hmm. Outside of him just doing the voices for you.
Yeah, very little.
That's what I'm saying. So like all that extra shit that people want, that FaceTime and like, let me talk to you and let me do that. How much of it are you really going to remember? If all Princess Leia has to say is, help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope. And I'm out the door and I'm fucking got a memory for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Right. But if we had a conversation, how's the kids? How's your family? You know, how'd you get into drugs? Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? I get what you're saying, but I mean, like, if I have an interview set up with somebody or I have the opportunity to ask them questions, it's going to be more about direct things, like things that we know them for, not anything on a personal level.
Right, but
it's going to be, hey, you know, working on the new Star Wars, like, what was it like to actually be involved in a project that was almost 40 years ago that you kind of had to retake on that character? You know, obviously stuff that, but the thing is, it's just like, that's just an example of a question that comes to my mind right now, but she's been asked that like 40 times already at like different Comic-Cons. So,
but also at the same time, I think her point of view, and like, I'm not in her head. I don't know what she's thinking, but I think it's more like, hey, my PR guy will set up interviews with the appropriate channels.
I agree.
You know, and
it's I agree with you on the subject of her not having time to interview everybody because there's going to be a line of people. Like, that totally makes sense, and I understand that. I guess what I was getting at is, you know, just saying like no interviews at all, even for a specific time, I feel like is a little ridiculous if you're coming to Comic-Con. I feel like there should be even if it's a VIP section where like there are specific people from like the news or reputable sources that can go in and ask her a couple questions. I think like that at least should be warranted. But I, as far as I know, that isn't going to be allowed. So
yeah, that also could be on the people that are getting her to come too. Like, somebody
terms and conditions.
Somebody probably contacted her and was like, hey, can you come to Comic-Con? You want to make an appearance? And she probably was like, no, initially. You know what I mean? And then they like, you know, well, what if we did this? Well, no, still. And like, what if we did this? Well, no. And then like they went down this list of they ended up coming to this agreement. Mm-hmm. And she was like, fine, I'll show up, you know, and I'll take pictures with people. But that's going to be it. You know what I mean? And that could be, I think that could be just them trying to work out something that was comfortable for her to come to Comic-Con and actually make an appearance. So it was like we got the bare minimum, but it's more than what we would have got if those terms and conditions weren't there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Trying to flip things around. That's all.
No, and I agree that happened with a lot of people. I mean, I know they did that for Richard Dreyfuss when he was supposed to come to whatever the hell that place was, in Worcester, but then he like canceled last minute. That was sucked, man, because I bought tickets for that. It was going to be a 40th year screening of Jaws, and he was going to like be there to meet people and take pictures and do autographs, and then they were going to show Jaws, and then he was going to do a Q&A, and he just canceled being there, and I didn't even go because that was the whole reason I was going. But that sucked. So one other thing I want to jump into, you actually want to jump into this, is something that I mentioned on my solo show, which was James Bond and how the character has been. I'm going to leave that to you because I know what I said, but I know that you have your own views on it and topic of discussion. So I'll let you kind of like, I'll let you start on that as you clear your throat.
Yeah, just real quick. I mean, I don't want to, you know, go down a rabbit hole here, but the reality that I believe is going on with the whole James Bond universe is that this is a character that has a code name.
Mm-hmm.
And the code name is James Bond, also 007, right? Because everybody knows his friggin' name. Like, as somebody that's a spy, somebody that's in espionage and all like that, nobody's gonna know your real name.
Right.
So you have a name that you go by, and James Bond just happens to be the code name for this this spy, this super spy, right? So there's an article that I found on Reddit that kind of sums it up, and they basically point to Skyfall as being the movie that has the evidence that supports the theory that it's a code name. I'm going to link to the article on Redbeard so you all can read it in full. But I mean, that to me, that's why you have Sean Connery, you have Roger Moore, you have Timothy Dalton, you have Pierce Brosnan, you have all these different actors that that are playing the role of James Bond, and it doesn't feel like every time somebody else steps in, it doesn't feel like, oh, it's a totally different guy. It's like, yeah, it's a totally different guy, but his code name is James Bond, and that's what that's the mantle that he's taking on,
mm-hmm.
right? So the whole idea that this character can't be a different race, right? And I know that's not what you were saying. I know, like, you, I know you, man. I know you don't give a shit, mm-hmm. but the folks out there that are kind of up in arms about whether or not it's Idris Elba or you know, Jackie Chan, you know, it, if the guy has the chops to be a spy, right, mm-hmm. the level and caliber of James Bond, then he can step up and he can take that mantle. And so the idea that he's pigeonholed into being, you know, a white guy or whatever, or British, even British,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't matter, right? That none of that matters. What matters is, was he trained correctly to be James Bond?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is yes, then he can take that on and he can become James Bond. So read the article. I'm going to post it on Redbeard probably later on today. Probably right after we post the podcast anyway. But yeah, check out the article. You'll see what I'm talking about. And that's basically been my view the whole time. I'm just glad that I found that to sort of support everything that I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I completely understand how it's a code name and there are a lot of other factors involved with that. But I also play devil's advocate and I think about like why everybody might have a problem with it. Like, you know, yeah, you have like you have the facts and you have the evidence to support that it shouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people that don't give a shit about that.
Right.
They're going to say like, I don't care. He's been white. Why are we making him black now?
Well,
you know what I mean?
My answer to that is that the president has been traditionally white. Obama is president now.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, is there a problem with that?
Right.
There shouldn't be.
There are people that like, and I don't necessarily, and I don't want to like go say that those people are racist because I don't think that they are. I think that they're because there's people like myself,
right?
Who, like I talked about this in my solo show. I went to see a show where they made Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol female and African American.
Right, right.
Totally took me out of the show because I didn't believe it. It didn't make sense to me.
And that makes sense to me.
That was me, though.
But that makes sense to me. What you said makes sense to me because the character Ebenezer Scrooge is actually a dude named Ebenezer Scrooge. It's not a code name,
yeah.
right? It's not like you know, Jack Johnson is Ebenezer Scrooge in this universe, and now Sally Mae Withers has become Ebenezer Scrooge and taken on the mantle. It's mm-hmm. just Ebenezer Scrooge. He was born Ebenezer Scrooge, and he was born a white dude, right?
Right.
James Bond, my point, is that he wasn't born anything. It's a name that's given to somebody to take on that role. So, like, the fact...
I know what you're saying.
What these people are having a problem with is just the concept of change.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, like you said, not necessarily racism. It's just they just can't deal with the fact that they're going to change something. Yeah. Oh, my God, it's change.
Right.
No. Right?
And those are the people I'm talking about.
That I don't ever want to update my phone, ever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm on iOS 5 right now. You know what I mean?
It runs great. Why don't my apps work? Because you need to update
I paid somebody to put iOS 5 on my iPhone 6. You know what I mean? Like, that's like because I don't ever want to change.
I mean, yeah, it's just it. Those are the people that, those are the people that scare me because they are extremely stubborn,
right?
To the point where no matter how much you throw in their face, no matter how many facts you put out in front of their face, it's still, they're still going to be like, no, I don't care. I don't care what that shit says. I want it to stay the way that it was because it's worked and blah, 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 blah. And fuck that. And
exactly.
I think it's bullshit. I think it's bullshit. Like I said, I think Idris Elba would kill it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are going to be like, fuck that. I'm not supporting that movie because he's black.
Yeah.
It's like, but not to mention the movie's probably going to fucking kick ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's like, you know, and but then there are, I mean, I said it's not necessarily racism, but I do believe there are some people out there that are like that and that are looking at it.
Oh, well, that goes without saying, though. Yeah, I mean, of course. They're just
like, you can't be black because it ruins perfectly great white character. And it's like, relax, you know what I mean? Because the world hates you.
Yeah.
you know, that's what it comes down to, you know?
Are you going
to
watch Black Panther? No, because the word black is in it.
Right.
It's just like, you know, like, ridiculous.
And he's black, so it's double black.
Exactly.
It's so. Like three black things at once. Three? Where'd that come from? I don't know, but I'm sure there's something else in there that's black.
It's triple black Smirnoff Ice. So I don't even know. That just made me reminded of that. So, hey, guys, that's going to do it for us this Wednesday on the Red Beard Podcast. Please, guys, check out redbeardpodcast.com. Cooley's going to post that article. I will be posting a picture of me in the costume that I made for some reason. That did not go up as planned yesterday, but that will go up immediately following me ending this. And please check our Twitter this Saturday because we are going to be posting stuff while we're at Rhode Island Comic Con, keeping you guys updated. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys next week. Later.
Peace.